it's never going to stop because innovation never stops and technological advancements never stop. And we are in a time of exponential change. So with that, we have to be more agile than ever.
Greetings, gang, and welcome back to Future Proof. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. Today, we're going to talk about AI, artificial intelligence. You might have heard about it. It's that thing that everyone's talking about, right? And yeah, the hype is out of this world, but here's the thing, and there's really no getting around it. This isn't something new or groundbreaking. I mean, it is, but it isn't either, right? We've been through stuff like this before. Excel was supposed to kill our profession, remember? And then came the internet and TurboTax and the cloud. And you know what? We're still here, adding greater value for our clients than ever. Now, yeah, these new technologies today, they're a different breed. They're evolving faster than ever. It's harder to keep up than ever. They're eating away at more of our foundational tasks than ever. But for the time being, anyway, they're still just tools. Tools that augment what we do and allow us to do it with greater efficiency and speed and effectiveness, and adding more value for our clients than ever before. And it's in that light that CPA.com released a new white paper recently. That's CPA.com, the technology arm of the American Institute of CPAs. That white paper is titled "The Rise of Artificial Intelligence, a Critical Inflection Point for the Accounting Profession." And it's in that light that I sat down with this week's guest. She's Casey Johnson. Casey is a strategic advisor with CPA.com. She's a strategic consultant and a speaker on topics like business development, marketing, sales, cloud solutions. She's spoken at accounting and business and legal and technology conferences globally, and she's a pretty deep thinker on how new technologies like AI are impacting the profession. And we'll get to my conversation with Casey here in just a moment. First, a couple of housekeeping items. Let's start with the fact that this week's podcast is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. Next, here is what caught my eye this week. It's a report from Sage. Unsurprisingly, Sage is typically on the cutting edge of all things accounting and finance, but this one points to something bigger than usual, I think. I'm going to read an excerpt here from an Accounting Today article titled "Accountants Are Ready for a Cultural Shift." It's written by Ranika Arrowsmith, who writes, and I quote, "Accountants are more ready than ever to talk about cultural shift. According to a survey commissioned by ERP and accounting software provider Sage, 90% of accountants believe there has been a cultural shift wherein professionals no longer see themselves as number crunchers. Survey data suggest that this shift is being partly driven by clients and the marketplace, which together are demanding much more than the traditional number crunching that has historically driven the accounting profession. Workforces are becoming ever more multi-generational. As baby boomers meet millennials, the profession is being influenced by new and different attitudes, expectations, and skills." Jennifer Warowa, executive vice president of Partners, Accountants, and Alliances at Sage, said during a panel discussion at Sage Summit on May 14th that while in the past, accountants would always respond yes to whether they were fostering diversity and inclusion in their firm culture, because nobody wants to say no, she now feels that firms are starting to put into place real strategies for building a diverse staff. "This shift shows a move slightly away from the hyper-focus on new technology when compared to last year's survey, and a new focus on building strong firms with distinctive cultures that last." And according to Warowa, technology has enabled this shift. Here's what she says. She says, "The ongoing digital revolution is also contributing to this overall shift, with technologies like cloud computing becoming mainstream and artificial intelligence easing the administrative burden. This progress has helped forward-thinking practices be more productive while forcing them to accept the challenges of improving man with machine." End quote. So there you go. These technologies, They're transforming our profession, yes, but not by stealing our jobs. They're forcing us to diversify, when you think about it. They're forcing us to become better versions of ourselves, and they're forcing us to do it really quickly. And that's why I was excited to speak this week with Casey Johnson. We took a deep dive into CPA.com's most recent white paper on artificial intelligence. We talked about the new doors that AI is opening for the profession. We talked about whether the profession is moving fast enough, quite frankly, to keep up with the dizzying pace of technological change today. And we talked about what folks in our profession should be doing now to prepare for the impact that AI will inevitably have on them. So great stuff here and a great future-focused conversation. Here is Casey Johnson. So Casey, thanks for being here. I want to start with this. One of the things, the really interesting points that your team makes in this white paper that I think a lot of folks don't really think about all that often is the fact that artificial intelligence isn't really new at all. It's been around for decades. Give me a little bit of historical context here of the impact AI has been having on our profession for years, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So AI has been around actually since the 60s. I think that it has just in the last probably 3 to 5 years really gotten as much hype as it has because there have been so many technological advancements and we're actually seeing it in practical application into firms. So it's kind of gone past that, if we're looking at the Gartner hype cycle, past the trough of disillusionment and actually showing its true value, which is great. So everybody thinks it's happened really quick, which happens with all technology, right? Because it creeps up on you very fast once the developers have gotten past a certain stage. Mm-hmm. But in reality, yes, it has been around for a very long time, just in a much smaller portion and really available to organizations that had very deep pockets. It's gotten to a point of being financially, you know, available and realistic for smaller organizations. So once it reaches the masses, we really start to see more adoption and people feeling like it can actually do something for their firm.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there because it seems like, you know, at the point where, who was it, KPMG, when they announced a couple of years ago that they were going to start using Watson technology in their full suite of professional services, that was kind of groundbreaking at the time. But again, it was this huge firm, like you said, deep pockets. I think a lot of folks still kind of felt that it didn't really apply to them. And then like less than 2 years later, suddenly you've got small firms. Like we got a firm in Maryland, Garbum and Winslow, that's now employing AI in their audit practice. So now, I mean, it's affordable and available to everybody, and almost it's like seemingly overnight too. I mean, it seems like it's moving very, very fast at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's Samantha Bowling there is who we spoke with. And yeah, she's using MindBridge and doing great things with it. I think that if you look at the different kind of layers of AI, because I think everybody just kind of buckets AI into one big thing when in reality, and we kind of talk about this in the paper, there's different levels. And so we get into machine learning and deep learning and different renditions and where each of those are at. Obviously, the branch of machine learning that you are looking at, it has been more complex tasks. Mm-hmm. But I would say that the way that Samantha and their team are doing it is probably the most popular version right now that we're seeing in especially audit and assurance work and most widely available for small to medium-sized firms.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and as the paper points out, we've kind of arrived at this inflection point at which AI is really starting to change the profession itself in a way. Let's talk a little bit about that because there's, like you said, there's been a lot of hype about this stuff lately. What kind of impact are you actually seeing? What are some of the new doors this technology is opening for the profession?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the reasons that we do these papers is because there's a lot of feelings and sentiment in the profession that these technologies are so far in the future and that it's not really being adopted or utilized in practical application by firms today. So a lot of firms then wait to move on anything or try anything because they think, oh, that's 3, 5, 10, 20 years out. It's not going to impact me tomorrow. And then we see this huge adoption and it's, whoa, what happened? Now we're a laggard.
Right.
So when we looked at this, we talked to a lot of different technology vendors in the space to figure out exactly how they are building out AI into their solutions, because obviously it requires them to invest in it for firms to be able to adopt it. Mm-hmm. And then we also talked with firms that were developing AI internally. So I think as far as what the impact is on the profession, initially what we're seeing is in the rote record-keeping tasks that are all being automated in more of the bookkeeping cast line of services. Then what we're seeing in the future, and even starting now in audited assurance, is AI really kind of transforming the audit and getting us to a point where it can categorize the risk across entire ledgers and systems without humans having to spend hours analyzing data. And Samantha talked about that and how that they are even lowering their risk at the engagement phase, which is great. So I think that with audit, AI will be able to provide some reasonable assurance and analyzing and determining patterns, as well as identifying those outliers, which of course are risk to flag. So it's no longer a theoretical technology, but instead being applied to firms today so that they can no longer have to rely on samples in an audit, but instead utilize the full data set and remove a lot of that back and forth with clients during the audit process. So that's where we're seeing the biggest impact. It's not going to remove the human layer, but it's going to augment it to make them more efficient and provide more meaningful insights to the clients.
And leaving us humans with what, more time for analysis and conversations and things like that?
Absolutely. Building out those real value-added advisory services that we've been talking about for years, right? And becoming more valuable and meaningful, insightful to the clients rather than, you know, those very repetitive behaviors that unfortunately, you know, and repetitive tasks that, especially in audit, accountants have for a long time been caught up in.
Sure. Sure. And we know the exponential factor is still at play here when we're talking about the advancement of technology, right? I mean, Moore's Law is still in play, at least it's where we sit today. And with given that, these technologies are just going to continue to evolve at a faster and faster pace. I guess my question really boils down to this. Is the profession moving fast enough at this point? I mean, there's been a lot of movement recently. Is that happening fast enough, in your opinion?
In my opinion, probably not. I mean, we talk about this a lot, about we're in exponential times, and it is not going to slow down. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're just getting to that point where we're starting to embrace it and say, you know, this isn't going to change. And I talk a lot about innovation. And it seems to me that especially in recent years, we keep talking about, you hear the future practice and, you know, oh, the future is now and all these things. And I think that, in my opinion, the problem with theorizing in that way is that we're acting as if there's an end to this. Like we've gotten to a point of, okay, this is the future firm. It's never going to stop because innovation never stops and technological advancements never stop. And we are in a time of exponential change. So with that, we have to be more agile than ever. You know, I love Doug Sleater always says agility trumps ability. And I think that is, it's very true. You know, it's going to be one of the necessary ingredients for firms and leaders our CEO and president, Barry Mullins, talks a lot about the need to unlearn, to relearn, and how much time we're going to have to put into being able to adapt and learn new skills. And I think that just goes back to where we're at today, that we are never, there's not some apex of, okay, this is the final kind of what we've all been waiting for to get to. And now, you know, this is what the new status quo is. It's no longer going to be that. It's always going to be evolving, and we're going to have to evolve with it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I get the impression from a lot of folks that they feel like, you know, if I just do this one thing, then I'm done, right?
And yes,
that's not the way it's going to work.
No, that's just the one thing for right now. Yeah. And that one thing is going to be very different in, you know, whatever the time frame may be, 3, 5, 10.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crazy and exciting time to be working in this profession. What and a lot, you know, what you just said may be a little frightening for a lot of folks. What gives you reason for optimism, if anything, about how we're going to respond or evolve as a profession?
Well, and I think that's another reason that we do these and we do so much education and spend the time to really understand, because I think there is a lot of fear mongering out there. When I open up my news feeds in the morning and I'm kind of reading the different articles, it's amazing. And I understand it, you know, it's what is sensationalism, and it gets people to click on and read the fear factor. But how many articles come out about, you know, rise of the machines, and the machines are going to take over, and blockchain is going to end, you know, auditing and all of these things. And unfortunately, I'm on the completely opposite side. I actually see all of this as just opportunity. I don't think that very many accountants out there enjoy doing repetitive tasks and data entry and being record keepers. I don't think that's why they got into the business. So all of these tools are actually just augmenting what they're capable of doing. And it's making their job easier, and in reality, providing them more time to do things that they'll enjoy better. So to me, I don't look at it as a fear. I look at it as an opportunity that if we embrace, we're probably going to enjoy our jobs a lot more, but on top of it, the clients are going to value us, you know, threefold compared to just sending them, you know, closed out books.
Well, how is the profession responding? And I guess by profession, I'm thinking kind of on a profession-wide level, the AICPA or others. What kind of things are being done on that kind of profession-wide national level in response to some of these advances?
You know, I think that it depends on which segment of the profession you're talking about. I mean, there's obviously the early adopters and the innovators who have shown a lot of optimism and excitement about it. They invested in it early, and you know, they unfortunately had to go through the pains of any new technology, and now they're seeing the fruits of their labor. And then you have the next group who is really, they've invested in the education of it, they've understood it, and maybe they're dipping their toes in the water and they're saying, okay, we're going to test out one of these products and start to implement it. And then we still have a huge group of the profession that is so far behind that, and they hear it, they may read a little bit about it, but they're just business as usual, and they're not necessarily implementing anything right now. We talked with Eisner Amper in this paper, and because they were one of the early adopters, and they actually not only invest in outside technologies, but they build their own AI solutions as well. In fact, they use Watson for some of it. And so we were looking at that conundrum that a lot of firms say, well, do we implement a turnkey solution that maybe isn't perfect, isn't exactly what we want because it's not built to our needs, or do we build something of our own, which is obviously a huge undertaking and a big investment. So it's really a dichotomy of the profession right now. We're seeing it's one side all in and one side completely, you know, pushing their heels, not entering yet. And then some that are kind of just dipping their toes.
And the, you know, at an organizational level, the and help me out here, the AICPA, I've been hearing, and reading a lot about the work that they've been doing, focusing specifically on the future of audit. Can you speak to some of that? What's happening? What's happening there?
Yeah. So, I'm the strategic advisor at CPA.com, which is the business and technology arm of the AICPA. We have partnered with Caseware and are developing the dynamic audit solution in conjunction with them, as well as AICPA, to instill AICPA guidance into the audit process. It's a very large development undertaking, and it's actually being done with a lot of the firms as well as investors into the product, so that we can get a solution that perhaps maybe the big four would have been able to develop, but that just isn't available on the market today. It was more a reaction to firms needing a solution that would deliver these types of technological advancements to their firm that they just, like we talked about with deep pockets, they just don't have access to. It doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. So interesting stuff there. Be looking forward to seeing where all of that goes as well. A lot of organizations, whether firms or folks in business and industry, corporate side, they've been, edging into the space, but haven't been going there as well. So I guess my question is, what should organizations be doing now to kind of prepare for the impact that AI will inevitably have on the way that they operate?
Well, so one of the things that we identified, which was really interesting and a good way for firms to prepare, was the problem that most firms have when they go to implement any kind of AI solution is they have issues with data. First of all, they don't know where all of their data is. And when they pull it all together and get this giant data lake, they don't necessarily understand what it all means and how to pull different pieces from different systems of record together. So I think that a good piece to kind of start with is identifying where all of the data is, organizing some of that, figuring out what holes there are, what you're going to need, so that you can really design, okay, this is the type of system we need in the future. Because then when you're looking at vendors and they're coming about, and we actually included in the paper some different questions that are recommended that you ask any vendors so that you can make sure to invest in, you implement a solution that will really work, and you're not then 2 or 3 years later having to redo the whole thing. But so that you don't run into roadblocks, lay it all out now. Figure out what you have, what you need, so you can build out those data lakes to work for your future system.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was at a conference recently. A keynote speaker there described exactly what you were saying as the difference between digitization and being digital. And she said, they're not the same things. Digitization is more what's going on the back end, right? You need to clean up your data. You got to make sure that the infrastructure is in place so that you can end up doing the things that these new technologies are going to allow you to do. And I thought that was a really interesting and important distinction that she made between the two. So
Ross Sebastian?
No. This was at the Digital Now conference. It was, I think Jeannie Ross was her name. But anyway, it just kind of goes to underscore what you're saying as well, that first step doesn't necessarily have much to do with these new technologies. It's making sure that what you've got is going to play well with them. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. And I think that when you get a stronghold of your data and what you're going to need, that will then help you narrow down the list of potential vendors that can fulfill your needs later and in the future, because you have a scope of work. Because I think most firms walk in and they're just like, okay, yes, we need to take advantage of AI. What do we do? Right. And that's a much larger undertaking than understanding what it can do, what the limitations are, and then analyzing your internal systems to figure out what you're going to need to get to the, that ultimate endpoint.
Yeah, I think another point that was made in your white paper, I think it was it David Barrett who said that, you know, a lot of folks make the mistake of when they're looking at these new technologies of wanting to understand exactly how they work. And diving in and getting a really good handle on the inner workings of, you know, artificial intelligence or something like that. And he says, that's really not where you need to go. You just need to understand what they're going to allow you to do and then just make sure that you're set up to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and he's right. You know, we worry so much about the plumbing of these different types of technologies and systems when, you know, it's kind of like blockchain. I do a lot of the 101 classes and people want to understand all of the technological nuances of exactly how all of it works behind the scenes. And it's like, well, do you understand how SQL works? But you've been working on SQL for how many years? You right. know, how much of this do we really need to understand, or are we overcomplicating things? And Barrett made a good point too in the paper, in that he said, you know, number one, just make sure that your systems integrate and that they talk to each other. Because after all of this, if the AI system is only as good as the data that's in it, right? It learns from it and it gets more and more accurate the more data that it has. So if your systems are all integrated and they talk to each other and are efficient in that, then your end product will be that much better. Because otherwise, if you've broken integrations and systems that don't really talk to each other the way that they should, you've done a lot of work an implementation on something that is kind of a band-aid.
Yeah, yeah. What if anything, what kind of things stood out for you as you and your team were preparing this white paper? Any surprises or ahas?
So none of the people that we interviewed knew or talked to each other. And it was a recurring theme about data. We talked with Bill.com. We talked, of course, with Caseware. We talked with Eisner Amper. So no matter if we were talking to thought leaders, vendors, or firms, everything, the underlying theme was data. And so that's why, you know, when I say to firms about how can we prepare, that was the biggest learning for me, was making sure that you are doing everything you can with your data now. It will make life later that much easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, really terrific insights and suggestions. And Casey, I thank you for being here today and sharing those with us. It's going to be really interesting to see where this goes going forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Bill.
That was Casey Johnson, a strategic advisor with CPA.com. You can find out more at CPA.com. And that white paper, again, its title is The Rise of Artificial Intelligence, a Critical Inflection Point for the Accounting Profession. And you can download it for free by visiting CPA.com/whitepapers. It's a great read. Check it out. And I'm not too proud to say that it features interviews, insights from four of our previous podcast guests. So there's Samantha Bowling, who is in episode 40. There's Eric Askerson, who is in episode 22. Barry Melanson, he was in episode 14. And David Barrett also, going all the way back to episode 8. So good stuff there from some folks that we've palled around with for a little while. And don't forget, this week's sponsor, rather, is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. We're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. That's it for this week, gang. Have a great week.